got them to field goal or touchdown position, so you just did your job. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's great to be in God's house today. In the life of the church, there are always special things that happen, and I believe, honestly, that they're memories. They are things that God allows us to experience in our life because of what He has designed for us to do in future days for Him. And over the years, Revelation Bible College has always been a very big part of the ministry here that was birthed back in the early days when Pastor first came to the city and first decided that God wanted us to have a Bible college at Family Church. And a lot of the graduates are sitting here today in the worship center who have completed their training at Revelation Bible College. And yet today there is one young man who has purposed in his heart to seek God, follow after God, and do what God has called him to do. Officially, this year was not really a normal kind of RBC year, but it was a year that was developed specifically for a young man who had a call in his life, believing that God wanted him to be able to come back here among us and yet learn some things and yet have an opportunity to get some more training, get some more experience, and to be able to leave here to go back to his home pastor, to the McGrews, and be able to better serve them as a son in their house. And so it's been especially, made me feel very good to have him here. And one of the reasons for that is because of the impact that his father has had on our church, and more specifically, had on me in my life. And I was privileged to minister up in northern Manitoba around Christmas time, and I shared with the folks up there about the impact that Wayne had been in my life. He was, through all of the years that we traveled, he was, I would describe him as the spiritual giant in our group. He was the man in the Word. He was the man that had the gift to teach the Word like I only dreamed of at the time. And so it was really an impacting time. And so being able to have Michael here among us has been an honor and a privilege for me. And I was just thinking the other day, that Michael's father preached a sermon here one time, and he entitled it Roll Up the Rim. And we're in that season right now. We're getting near the end of Roll Up the Rim to Win. And he talked about how we're winners and how God wants to accomplish great things. And I seem to be cutting in and out here. I'll stand over here and see if it's better. And so without further ado, I'm going to call Michael Wayne Samuel Smith to come forward. And Brother Werner, if you come forward as well. Brother Rudy has been the dean of our Bible school over this last year. He's spent some time with Michael. And Michael spends most of his time with me. And so if there is any good development, you can praise both of us in Michael's life. But I don't know if you recall, there was a service that we had at the end of RBC last year. And there was a prophetic word that was given to Michael. Yes. And that prophetic word talked about how God had things in store for him, that God wanted to use him in ministry, God wanted to use him in the future to fulfill that dream and that vision that he had in his heart. And actually, this past year of Bible school was actually initiated by Michael. He said, I want to come back to RBC, and there's yet further training that I want to take, because I know that God has a future for me. And that's been the mandate of this church, Jeremiah 29:11. God has given us a future and a hope. And so you've all had a part in that as you have embraced Michael. And you have, been a friend, been an encouragement to him. And so today, Michael, we're so glad to be able to give you this beautiful little piece of paper that talks about what you've accomplished here in this year among us. And so Brother Werner is going to present it to you. And we just want you to know that we love you and we appreciate you. And we've been so honored to have you here among us. So congratulations, Michael. So, Pastor, if you want to come and the rest of the elders and their wives, if you'd like to come, and we're going to lay hands on you suddenly and pray for you.
Michael, a brand new season is upon you. A brand new season's upon you, Michael. What a wonderful season this has been. And it's been a joy to work with you and to have you be a part of us during this last year in particular. I've seen much change. The one thing, all of us kind of tend to resist change, but our God says he's an unchanging God. But the thing that we seem to know about him is that he doesn't change, but he wants change in us. Mm-hmm. And so we've seen change. We've seen wonderful, godly change. We've seen a maturity come upon you and a will and a willingness to work and to stand under. As we watch all of those things, as we see God working in you, it's wonderful to know that when we send you out today, when we release you to all that God has for you in the years to come, mm-hmm. He's going to keep on wanting you to change. He's going to use what you have allowed to happen in your life. He's going to continue to mature you. He's going to take you to that place. I believe, and I'm believing with you, and so are we as a group, believing that you will fulfill the prophecy that God placed into your heart and life.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus. Right now, we came here to pray. We wanted to pray with you to send you out.
Yes.
We wanted to lay hands on you to stir up the gifts that are on the inside of you.
Yes.
That began this year, but it's bigger than that. And I want to see in the years to come those gifts flow and operate just as they should. We've been with you all the way, believing that you would become all that God has for you to be. Heavenly Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for Michael, for his heart. Thank you, Lord, that his parents and those that love him would see fit to send him out as well. And now they wait for a son to come home. Now they wait over there, Lord God, to receive what he's become and who he's about to be.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for his pastor and those back home that just can't wait to work with him as part of a ministry team. Lord God, today we not only stir up those gifts, but Lord God, we have with expectation to see those gifts in operation,
yes,
big
Lord,
time in the years ahead.
Mm-hmm. Precious Jesus.
There's something on the inside of me as we pray this morning that I need to say this to you. This door is always open. You can come back and visit when you choose. You come and go as you like to do, and know you're welcome here and you're loved in this place. We thank you for that gift. So we release him today. With great love. Release him with faith.
Mm-hmm.
We release him knowing that we have experienced and been a part of your life.
Yes, Jesus.
And that causes us joy today to release you with all of that that's new on the inside of you.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
I just hear one simple phrase, Michael, from the Lord for you. With God, nothing is impossible.
Anybody else?
The thing that came to my mind was your name is Michael.
But I also saw your name as Nathaniel, a man in whom there is no guile. Mm-hmm. And the innocence of your heart, God is going to use greatly to influence the people of your generation. Because there's a spirit in you that's, I call it special. Nathaniel had a special heart, and the Lord recognized it as being special. But it's the type of heart that's going to influence, and it's going to cause people to follow.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Anyone else?
It's not every day that a church has the opportunity to have a big name amongst them. Michael W. Smith. But we've been blessed because of it.
Yes.
Amen.
But one thing I don't understand is how someone can live in Prince Albert and taste the glory of living here and want to go back to Victoria. Each their own.
What do you have to say to that, Michael? You want to say anything?
I don't know.
Okay. Praise God. We love you, Michael.
Bless you.
Praise God. Isn't God good?
God is good.
Praise the Lord. You have your Bibles. That's a funny thing to say in a faith church, isn't it? If you have your Bibles, why don't you turn to Mark? The end of the book of Mark. Mark 16. I want to read from my favorite verse. Some of my favorite verses in the Bible. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And we, Father, thank you for the opportunity that is ours, granted to you, to us by you, that, Father, we would enter into a deeper, a more complete relationship with you. We recognize, Lord God, that everything that we say and do pertains to you. It's about you, about what you have done for us, yes. About what you desire to do for every person that we would be able to influence and be able to help in this world and our brothers and sisters in the Lord to help them and to assist them on their journey. I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to operate with a conscious realization that everything that we're doing is for you and inspired by you in our lives. And we just want you to be glorified in this service this morning as we open your word. I pray, Lord God, that it would be a word that would encourage, a word that would impact us and help us to, once again, Lord, be able to recognize the significance of us as men and women of God living on this earth at this time, in this season, Lord, that is fast approaching your return back to this earth. Father, we thank you that you have called your church. You have called the leadership of this church, Pastors Glenn and Joan, and all the elders and leaders and members of this church. Lord, you've called us to be a shining light in this city, in our nation. Lord God, to touch and impact people with your love and power and ability. So, Lord, we're honored to be able to be in your presence today. We're honored, Lord, to know today that your Holy Spirit is here with us to not only order our steps, but to anoint the words that we speak. And so, Lord, I thank you that you will anoint my lips. You'll anoint the words that I speak, Lord, to be of blessing to your people in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise in advance for all the good things that will continue to happen throughout this service. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So let's turn to Mark 16. We all know that Jesus, after his resurrection, he gave the Great Commission to his disciples, the ones that were still following him at that time. And it says here in verse 15, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Usually when we think about a person and we think about the words that they say, Jesus, when he's saying these words, he's saying them to his followers, his disciples that had followed him through thick and thin, followed him through a lot of adversity and even opposition by the religious leaders of the day. And yet Jesus was reaffirming to them the importance and the significance that they held in the future fulfillment of his mission that he had begun here on earth. Jesus came to this earth. He came, the Bible says, to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God. I really believe that everything that we do is going to be done according to the amount of God's power and ability that we allow to work through us. It's going to happen. Lives are going to change. Good things are going to take place based on how much we allow Jesus to be the Lord of our life, how much we depend on him, how much we recognize his calling in our life, recognizing that the first and the most important thing in our life is not me, it's not you. You know, sometimes we think it's us. We're the most important thing, but really, compared to him, he is our all in all. The scripture says, in him we live and move and have our being. Hallelujah. And so I just want to share some words of encouragement with you this morning. When the disciples received this mandate from Christ after his resurrection, you know, before his resurrection, some of them had given up. Some of them had quit. You know, Peter had denied the Lord three times. Three strikes and you're out, usually. But with God, that's not true. Jesus still come to him and still reassured him that I have yet work for you to do. It's not over. This happened because the devil came against him. And because of the fear of the people, because of the, you know, he didn't want to at that point in time lose his own skin. He killed himself. And so he denied the Lord, but Jesus came to him. Jesus reassured him that more good things would happen. And you know that Jesus called the children of Israel, or of his disciples, they were the children of Israel too. He's always called his people to follow him, to follow after the truth of the Word of God, the truth of Scripture. And he called them to tarry in Jerusalem in the upper room until they would be endued with power from on high. We all know, and you've heard this many, many times, Peter after Pentecost was a lot different Peter than the Peter that denied the Lord. Yeah. He was a man full of power. He was a man full of grace. He was a man that knew that he knew that he knew that he knew that God loved him. To the degree that we recognize how much God loves us, that's really the degree to which we are able to impact society. Because that means there's never anything that can ever happen. There's never anything that can separate us from the love of God. We know that God is always going to give us an opportunity to represent him in the power of his might. Hallelujah. And so we're to put on the whole armor of God, the Apostle Paul said, and to fight the good fight of faith. We fight the good fight of faith because we win. If you already know you're going to win, it's not hard to get in the ring with the opposition. If you already know, you know, as a hockey player, you're going to win the Stanley Cup, you don't even think about your opposition up until that seventh game in the final series. That's the important one. Because if you've made it to that place, it's easy to get through that game and lift Lord Stanley in the air. Everybody is going to have some Lord in their life. Someone that's going to be more important to them than anything else. It may be a Stanley Cup, it may be a Grey Cup, it may be whatever kind of cup you want to think of, but if it's not Christ, it's going to pass away. But the words of Christ and the truth of the gospel will never pass away. He has given us an eternal word. He's called us to be men and women of righteousness. He's called us to be men and women that will dare to believe him and to stand for him in spite of opposition. In spite of what the enemy would say, in spite of what the people of the world will say, you know what? It doesn't matter what the people in the world say. They don't have the final vote. They don't have the final word. The final outcome has already been designed by God. God is God. Amen. You know, there's that Southern gospel song, God is God on the platform. He's God. You know, in the pew, God is God. God is God. He's God everywhere. You know, and that's how, you know, the Pentecostals get excited in church singing that song. You know, get their you know, some people, if they can't get their emotions stirred up, they don't go to church very well. But you got to start somewhere. I remember Dr. Hagin saying one time, you know, talking about dancing in the church, if it's in the spirit or not in the spirit. And you know what? His answer was very good. He said, everything you do starts in the flesh. But if you will dance before the Lord in your flesh, it won't be very long until the spirit will take over.
Yeah.
And you'll be in the right place if you weren't when you stepped in. Step into the water, the song says. Amen. And so we gotta step into what God has for us. And as I was thinking about the Great Commission, it's always been something that's been very near and dear to my heart. And the reason for that is I believe it, to me, represents something far deeper than just words on a page. I believe it represents something more than just something that's good to talk about as Christians. I believe that it's something that God wants us to, everyone, to be so excited about that we consciously realize everything we say, everything we do, every opportunity that's given to us to reach out and to help somebody in this world, God has given us that right and that opportunity to be a friend, to be someone who is there for a person at a point of in their life where they just need to have a friend. I remember a time in my life where some of the calls that were coming into our house weren't very friendly. And I loved when my brother-in-law, Bob, would call. He'd start off by saying, this is a friendly call. Amen. You don't know how reassuring that is to get a friendly call. Hallelujah. And God is our friend. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. I talked a little bit about my brother Wayne, Michael's dad, today. And he was a very close brother to me. Not that Ken isn't. Ken's a close brother too. All of my four brothers and four sisters, they were all important to me and close to me. Still are. The ones that are here on the planet still. Wayne's up in heaven. Praise God. We're going to get together and talk about some more theology and so on. But praise God. We just thank God for the time that we've had together, the time that we've been able to share. I heard one man say one time, they wanted him just to express some things about his life, and he said this line. He said, my testimony is I'm here. That's my testimony. I'm here. Praise God. Could be lots of other places maybe, but I'm here. Praise God. I'm here because God wants me here. I'm here because God has called me to be a son. God has called me to be a servant of his. God has called me to encourage as many people as I can on the planet to love God and to serve God with all their heart. Praise God. Part of the Great Commission is demonstrating to people, living before people, a life that's pleasing to God. You know, the Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, follow me as I follow Christ. Don't follow me if I do something stupid, but follow me if I make a wise choice. And I'll help you to go the right direction, because that's my heart as a Christian. That's my heart, to go in the right direction and do all that God wants me to do. Praise God. And I really believe that was part of God's call upon the disciples. He recognized that the work that they were going to do was going to be far greater than his work. And there's a scripture in John that talks about that. Jesus, when he was speaking to his disciples, he said, you're going to do even greater works than I have done. Does that mean that we could ever do what Jesus did on the cross? Does that mean that we could ever personally again do what Jesus accomplished for us in his death, burial, and resurrection? That's not what it means. Jesus was saying, in order to get the job done, I need every believer. I need every Christian. Not just you disciples. I need all that will come after you. I need everybody doing their part in order that the kingdom of God can advance and be all that I've called her to be. You know that Jesus loves the church. Yes. Amen. Jesus said that he would build his church. And the gates of hell would not prevail against it. Do you think that Jesus had some opposition from hell? Do you think that Jesus ever faced great opposition in his life? He surely did. But he showed us how we can have victory in the middle of the greatest storm. He showed us how we can be in that wilderness experience and we can defeat the devil by simply agreeing with the Word of God, standing on the Word of God, saying what the Word says, and being determined, I'm not going to move to the left or the right. I'm going to focus on what God has called me to be and do, and I will be the person that God has called me to do. I am what God says I am. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul said, I can do all things through him who loved me and gave himself for me. There is now therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Hallelujah. And he said, put on the whole armor of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? Resist. Put on the armor of God. Stand in the truth of the Word of God. Be that disciple. Be that called out one. Demonstrate the power of God. Be all that God wants you to be. There's another scripture in the Bible that talks about, and it is spoken this way in Matthew 16, 26. It said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? What profit is therein gaining everything that is in the world today and lose your relationship with God or not have a relationship? The most important decision that anyone can make is making that decision to say yes to the Lord. To say, Lord Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want you to forgive me of my sin. I want you to cleanse me and be the Lord of my life. I choose to receive you as my Lord and Savior. I will love you. I will honor you. I will serve you. I will follow you. I will do everything that you ask me to do. And I purpose in my heart that I will do what the Scripture says, that if I miss it or blow it, it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sin and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I was listening to Rick Renner this week, and he was talking about some new revelation that the Lord has given to him concerning the resurrection. And that time in the Garden of Gethsemane was one of the examples that he was using. And you know the scripture where it talks about how when Judas came with those that were accusing Jesus, there was a big, big crowd of people and soldiers and everything. They came to capture Jesus and arrest him and to begin the process that Jesus was going to go through prior to his death on the cross, going to the court judgment time or whatever. And the scripture talks about how when they came into the presence of Jesus, they did not have to announce who they were. Judas did not even have to announce necessarily what he was there to do. But as they came into the presence of Jesus, I was astounded as he said this. I'd never really seen this verse before, but as they came into the presence of Jesus, it says, as they came towards Jesus, they all fell back on the ground as they came into that anointing, as they came into the presence of God. Yeah. Hallelujah. And he also talked about in that day, in that time, when somebody was put in a grave, they had a particular cloth that they wrapped around that person that had died. And he referred to a verse that talks about when that happened and all those people fell on the ground, that a young teenager ran out of his grave, brought back to life as the power of God hit them. And it says he ran naked from their presence. That means the grave clothes fell off. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he told his disciples, you take the grave clothes off of him. When he called Lazarus out of the grave. So we have our part to play. Our part to play is to believe God, stand on the Word, and let God be God, and let God do what He wants to do. Amen. Our God is not limited. Our God is not insignificant. Our God is filled with power and ability. He's just waiting on you and I to demonstrate that power and ability. He's just waiting on you and I to lay our hands on the sick and give Him an opportunity to raise them off of their deathbed, to raise them out of that place of sickness and disease. I liked what Brother Hagin said one time. Sometimes you're not around for your pastor to do that for you or your brother and sister in the Lord to do that for you, but you're always there with you, so you do. You lay your hands on the sick person and see them raised up. Hallelujah. I grew up in a pastor's home. And up in my pastor's home where my pastor was not on the top level of salary, you know, income. It was just the last two churches that he ever pastored that he actually got a salary that he could take a check down to the bank and put it in his bank account. Before that, he lived on what they call a free will offering. And it was more free will than offering, usually. And you know, so he didn't have insurance, and he didn't have all of those things, you know, to deal with different things necessarily when it came to sickness and attacks against the family. But he had a great faith in God. He had a great trust in God. Amen. Hallelujah. And when he wrote his memoirs, just reflecting on part of his life, if you ever got a chance to read it, you would read over and over again that God was faithful. God was a God of miracles. Yeah. There were so many times that if God wouldn't have come through, we wouldn't be here today. My sister Fern, when she was young, she had a bone issue that needed to be taken off her body. And it's amazing how some of them just wanted to chop her foot off, you know, because of it. But thank God there was a surgeon who said, you know what? I don't think we need to go that far. And he was able to operate, and she was able to recover. And you see Fern walking around. Look out if Fern's coming, because she's got both legs working and functioning. Praise God. She can go as quick as any of us probably. Well, maybe not as fast as Brother Duff. But, you know, the rest of us, she can really get to where she wants to go. That's a miracle of God. How are we doing for time? We're not. Okay. I believe that the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. And, you know, you have many gifts. You have many talents and abilities as I look at you. And as I have been able to see those firsthand, I thank God for each one of your gifts and talents and abilities. I believe that God has given every one of us an opportunity to serve Him. You know, when we are in church, I remember in the other building, there were different times that I would be preaching and funny things would happen. That's your cue. One time I was preaching, and all the lights went out. And the only thing that was left was an emergency light over above the door leading to the offices. And so I went over there and finished my sermon. And I won't go into everything that you've seen me do over the years. But I really believe that God has a sense of humor. The fact that He would call me, you know, when I look back at my life and I look back at me and some of the stupid things I've done, some of the stupid things I've said, some of the silly decisions that I've made, I sit back and I think, God, why would you choose to call me? You know why? Because there's probably lots of other people in the world that say stupid things, that do stupid things, that make mistakes. And yet, if they can see somebody that is still functioning and still serving God, and still desiring to be all that God would have them to be, I think that is part of living out your salvation and demonstrating to people, if you will see what God is doing in my life, if He can help that person, He can help me. You know why? Why we can believe that? Because the Bible says God's not a respecter of persons. He loves us all the same. To me, that means we all have been given the same opportunity. We've all been given by God the same power and ability to be that person that God wants us to be for Him. So when you think about how God has called us and how God ordains our steps and how God opens things before us, I just wanted to just share just briefly a few things that have been defining moments in my life and have helped me along my journey. My mom, she always said that she had sort of three sets of children. There were the three oldest, the three middle, and then the three little boys. And of course, Ken and I are two of those three. Wayne was the other third. And we were probably the toughest of all of the groups to raise and to train in the fear of the Lord. And, you know, Mom had her own medical issues in her life. And at one point in time, she had a situation with a stroke. And one of the things that she prayed to God is she wanted to live long enough to see her three boys serving God. And, of course, that was her heart's cry. And as a result of that, we had the honor and the privilege to have a time of operating in Christian music. It started out as a youth group, and it progressed into being full-time for over 8 years, traveling across Canada, over to Ireland one time. We produced 10 vinyl records, if you remember what a vinyl record looked like, about 12 inches big, nice and black with lots of beautiful grooves in it, and the groovy music came off those grooves as you played it. So we were raised up in the church, and that was an awesome time in our life because that was an opportunity that we had to, as a family, serve God. Over the years, we saw so many people that were impacted and changed by the gospel. We had people that came and gave their heart to the Lord. We had one time a man got out of a wheelchair unexpectedly, and the grave clothes fell off, so to speak. His drawers fell down. But thank God there was lots of people around, so not too many people saw it. But over the years, I got a few pages written down there, but I'm not going to tell them all. But I just wanted to express just in a capsule form to some of you that maybe don't know as much about me as some of the church family does. I really believe that God has had a call on my life over these years. And it started at a very young age. I can't remember a time when I would consider that I wasn't a Christian. I grew up in a Christian home. I lived in the church. I began my service in the church, first of all, by serving my pastor as just a child. And then we moved from Carlisle to the Paw, and I served my father there more as a teenager. And then the group started, and my dad retired, and we went on the road for the 10 years that we traveled. And then over the years, there have been various people that I have served. I have served my brother Wayne all the time that we traveled. He was someone that I was sort of like the servant of the group, so to speak. I made sure the bus operated. Well, it wasn't really a bus. Well, it wasn't a bus. We started with a school bus, so I can literally say we had a bus. And then we had two motorhomes, the new motorhomes that we drove during the time that we traveled, wore them all out as we traveled on the road. And through all that time, I was serving my brothers and sisters and serving Wayne. Then when we went off the road, I served Wayne at a church in Weyburn. I served with him in a church in Nipawin. And then I ended up out in Bible school, out in Niagara Falls at Peter Youngren's Bible School, Wiebe. I was one of the first of nine people that had faith in him enough to say, I'll come to your Bible school. And of course, Pastor Stead was very instrumental in opening that door because he knew that I was looking for direction. And he said, you know what? I think I found a Bible school just for you. It's good. It started by an evangelist by the name of Peter Youngren. Mm-hmm. And this could be just exactly what you need. And so by this time, I'd already met this beautiful girl here. Why don't you come up and stand beside me?
Only if you're standing still.
Do you want to just sit on here?
Sure.
Is that too high?
I'll be fine.
Okay. Then this beautiful woman swept me off of my feet, and I've never been the same again. You know, we've been a lot of places together. We've done a lot of things together. God gave us two beautiful children. We've done a lot of stuff. You know, when two young people feel the call of God to follow Him, all of the years that we traveled, we would go to all different kinds of churches. We were in Baptist churches, Alliance churches, United churches, and Pentecostal churches of every brand that you can think of. And as we went into some of those places, there were some pastors that would say to us, and they would question, what right do you have to do what you're doing? You've never been to Bible school. You know, you don't have the certificate on the wall like Michael does, you know. Mm-hmm. What gives you the right and the privilege to stand up here like you've been trained and you've been, you know, whatever? And so that was something that was hanging over my head. And something that when we were faced with an opportunity to make a decision about what we were going to do next in our lives. And when Pastor told us about Peter Younger's Bible School, there was something on the inside of me that said, you know what? This is a good thing. Why don't you go and check it out? And of course, back then, Jeremy was about 8 months old when we started the 7 or 8 months old when we started the process. And I remember we flew out to Ontario and we rented a little car that didn't have air conditioning. And I still remember being stuck on the traffic of the 401 down in Ontario with terrible, terrible heat beating in on us, you know, and I can still feel the sweat rolling down my face and everything as we were sitting there. And I still remember the very first time I met Peter Youngren. And we met him in his little back office. Back at that time, he owned a motel. And God had given him a motel, and it became the Bible school. It became the dorms for the students that came that needed a place to stay. God opened the door for us to live while we were there in a brand new, never lived in before, home for the time that we were there. He's so good. And, of course, going to a different province, Susan needed a door open to have a job because a nurse in Saskatchewan's not recognized as a nurse in Ontario. You have to earn that right to be recognized in that way. And so there was a time when there wasn't a lot of cash flow in our lives, but God was still faithful. And as we got through that process, we served out there for a period of time in Lindsay, Ontario. And then we came back to Moose Jaw. And then a lot of you know the rest of the story that things happened in Moose Jaw and we ended up here hurt, broken, downtrodden, needing a place to recover and re-energize and rebuild, refocus. And be able to do whatever God would open the door for us to do. And so Susan, all of her life, she was also raised in a Christian home. And all of her life, she's sort of been the spiritual pillar in her family to a degree. And her brothers, even to this day, they still look at Susan as the spiritual example in their family. And, you know, they maybe necessarily haven't come to the same circle that Susan has come at this point, but we believe that they will one day. And they've always recognized the spiritual ability in this girl. And back in the days when we went off the road, back in 1982, we were living in Weyburn, Saskatchewan. And I had to find out how I could do some tent making. I didn't have a lot of training. And so I ended up getting into training to become an EMT. And as time went along, and I finally became an EMT, and I finally was, you know, recognized as whatever that recognition is, I met this girl. And she also trained as, she was a registered nurse already working in an ICU in Weyburn. She also trained to become an EMT. Just because she's always liked to prove, if someone else can do it, I can do it. Is that the right way to say it?
Whatever.
She has always lived her life. If somebody ever told her, you can't do that, that's what caused her to believe, I can do that, I will do that, and I'll show you. And so she did succeed. And that's how we met, driving around Saskatchewan in an ambulance. And you know, in the beginning days, she thought that I was a Lutheran person because the church that I was helping Wayne in, they'd bought the old Lutheran church. And so a lot of people still thought it was a Lutheran church, I guess. And so she thought she was getting hooked up with a Lutheran, and then she found out it was a Pentecostal guy. And then we had our first date going to a Riders game, and we didn't get on the good side in the shade. We were on the other side in the sun. And it was a really hot September day. And after June. That was...
June
day. Are you sure?
Yes, have the ticket.
Okay. We went to the game, and so after the game, I took her out to supper at a very interesting place called Smitty's in Regina. And so we're sitting down to order our meal, and... She ordered a virgin pina colada. And I'm sitting across the table from her, and I think, she drinks. But of course, that's not an alcoholic beverage. That's the sheltered life that I've lived. But anyways, her first coming into the Smith family was meeting a lot of my siblings at a Pentecostal church in Regina. And so that's where she began to realize that, hey, this guy is really unusual. He's not a Lutheran. He's one of those Pentecostal people you should stay away from. But thank God she didn't stay away. Thank God that he put us together. And, you know, I can truthfully say that in all of our time together, in all that we've done together, she has all of her life been serving in children's ministry. Before I knew her, she was serving in children's ministry. After I have known her, and since we've been here, of course, everybody knows that that's her heart. And she actually helped Peter out in Ontario to see that when he first started having services and so on. You know, he just had the heart of the evangelist, and he just thought, hey, I just want to fill the room up with people. And she helped Brother Peter to see, you know what, you got to take care of the children, and you got to minister to the children on their level so that they can get something out of the service too. Yeah. And so that's been her heart. That's been her passion. She's been a great mother. Still is a great mother. Great wife. Great friend. She is my strength. And if you have seen anything good in me, I can guarantee that the biggest reason for it is Susan and what she's helped me to become. The Bible says, when you find a wife, you found a good thing. Amen. Hallelujah. But even more than that, when you find that connection that God wants you to have as a person, and you come into that place where you begin to function as a team, you know, and that's what we do. She's seen me up, she's seen me down. Hopefully not as down as much as up, but she has a way of helping me be encouraged to know that good things are in store. I believe that, should I carry any further? Do you want to come up?
No, it'd be good to let them come up.
We'll let you start.
Otherwise, you go on to another story.
I could just tell. I thought, I think John needs some help here.
I'll take it off.
We're at a wonderful moment. And what John has been laboring to try and say, you know, it's a hard thing because it's a long history, a very long history of service in the Lord. And also for Susan. And so we're celebrating two things here today. And what John and Susan, in seeking the Lord's face, have come to hear the Lord say is that their service in their current capacity, their season for that, is closing and has ended. So now, before you guys all let your heart start to fall and everything, they are not leaving the church. They are simply changing position. John has given his resignation as the administrator of the church, and Susan, who has been wonderfully serving for 17 years as the children's ministry for little praisers, ages 2 to 5, she's done it faithfully for 17 years. She also has been, she already had come to us at Christmas time and said, you know, I really believe my season is done. And we begged her. We said, please stay a little longer. It's just a little tough. And so she graciously stayed on a little bit longer. So they have really sensed the Spirit of God shifting them. Like John's acknowledged, he's got a call on his life. And he's really taking a leap of faith because he doesn't necessarily know where he is, or what necessarily, where or what or how the call is going to unfold and enlarge. But he's taking that leap of faith and opening the door and saying, okay, God. You know, there's a scripture in Exodus where it says, stand still, position yourself, and see the salvation of the Lord. So what he's doing, what they are doing, is positioning themselves. They're still going to be a vital part of the body. John is still an elder. They're just wanting to place themselves in a position where they can say, okay, God, what would you have us do? Where do we need to go? And so I really felt like Susan needed to speak some words over the children's ministry. And then I'm going to take it from there.
Can you just go get the Message Bible for me? I normally can walk a whole lot more than this, but yesterday I did a 12-hour day that was longer than 12, and I
heard her.
No, and walking, I'm just not doing it so much today, so let John do the. So, yep. So, even as John has talked about so many things through the years, I, with little praisers, have gone through, for myself, looked at the things of little praisers that I've taught through all these 17 years and thought of the people that I worked with and watched the kids grow up and all of this. But, the main verses that I had always considered through that time is the verses where Paul talks about that that one person sows the seeds and another person waters, but God gives the increase. And to me, as the teachers and as the workers, that's God's heart, is that one will sow the seeds, one will water, but God will give the increase. But when I thought of children's ministry today, that those verses didn't really fit, because I thought of the children. And hopefully I can get through these verses, because when we talk to pastors about me not being in Little Praisers, it is not because I don't love your kids. It's because I don't do the songs as good as I used to because I can't get up and down as fast as I used to. And it's time for a change. When I look, you know, like I was upstairs fixing up my room up in the church up on Wednesday night, and I can open any cupboard door and look at curriculums and think, oh, but I haven't taught that one yet. And that one's so good. And I my Christmas lessons are my favorites. And then I'm thinking about Easter. It's like, oh, but those are my favorites. And Jesus blessing the children is my favorite. And so is creation and all the rest. So they are. I love them. And I'd love to keep teaching the kids. But it is time to move to a new season. So when I think of the children, this is what Jesus said about the children in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 to 37. And this is from the Message. They're talking first about the disciples. It says, they came to Capernaum. When he was safe at home, talking about Jesus, he asked them, "What were you discussing on the road?" The silence was deafening. They had been arguing with one another over who among them was the greatest. He sat down and he summoned those 12 disciples. "So you want first place, then take the last place. Be the servant of all." And then, says he, put a child in the middle of the room. Then cradling the little one in his arms, he said, "Whoever embraces one of these children as I do embraces me, and far more than me, God who sent me." So when we take care of the kids, we're showing them Jesus' love, and we're showing them the love of God. And I found it was interesting because in Mark chapter 10, those disciples who Jesus just spoke to pretty strongly didn't get it yet. So it says, "The people brought children to Jesus, hoping he might touch them. The disciples shooed them off, but Jesus was irate and let them know it. Don't push these children away. Don't ever get between them and me. These children are at the very center of life in the kingdom. Mark this. Unless you accept God's kingdom in the simplicity of a child, he'll never get in." Then, gathering the children up in his arms, he laid his hands of blessings on them. And so when I think of the children of Little Praisers and the ones who, like, the ones who were in Little Praisers when I started here was Adam Quiring and Rebecca and Caroline. Those were the children. Caroline was two. And now look at who's there, you know? We got Toby and we got Jason. We have Isaiah when he comes, like, and Everly, so many wonderful kids. And God just wants to love them. And so this is my prayer and what I will believing for those who will go on and teach the children, who will work in the Little Praisers department, that they will love the kids and that they will be a blessing to them.
Don't run off. Where did Roberta go? She's in there. She's waiting. Roberta? So for Susan, for all your years of faithful service, and we want to congratulate you. We want to bless you. We want to say your service has been absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. It has probably been one of the departments in the church that has, there's many departments, and all of them operate well. But Susan's has been a department that is run very efficient, very tight, as is Deborah's, and, you know, even Children's Church. Children's Church has had a little bit more transition over the years than the two other ones. Deborah's been in Little Praisers for, how long have you been there, Deborah? She says she has changed everybody's diapers too. And so, you know, there's been the faithful ones that have been there for a long period of time. But you know, God
And I've got a lot more notes to say. Let me get you your card first. John, come on back up. Let me just say that I really do believe that there is a season that God is, there has been a shaking going on for some time. God has really been doing a work in the body of Christ. And I think that there is going to be, we're already seeing it. You know, when Megan stepped down from praise and worship, I'm sure a lot of people kind of thought she had fallen off the pedestal or something. But you know what? She heard God. She heard God say, you need to step down for a season. And because there was some shifting and some changing that God wanted to do in her heart and in her mind. And she needed to come to a position of rest to do it, or at least, you know, stop serving in that capacity. He may have her serve in another capacity, but he needed her to rest in that capacity for a season. And so, you know, there's been shifting in positions, and I really think that God is going to do more in the days ahead. And so if, and I had a lot more notes prepared, but for the sake of time, I'm going to not read them all. So I would just encourage you that you would really pray and seek the Lord, because we were known and had a great reputation in the land as a serving church. And we, honestly, we have lost some of that. And I mean, you know what? Glenn and I are the head, and so we can only look to ourselves to say, you know what? Maybe we didn't guard that. Why we, you know, lost it, I'm not sure. But Mark Davey made a couple of comments, and he said, you know what? God cannot do it all by himself. He could, but that's not the model he chose. He chose the church, which is a community of people that recognize the lordship of Jesus Christ and submit to it. He chose a church that is supposed to walk in the authority that it's been given and take everything in heaven and on earth and place it under the authority of him. He took a church, he made a church that does not operate in isolation, but joins together as a community. So the bottom line is we need each other. We need each other. And we need to be serving one another. So if I can make the appeal that you would pray and seek the Lord, because obviously if she steps down, we need somebody else that feels the call on their heart to minister to children. Now let me assure you of something. For those of you who have worked with Susan, you know that she operates in the ministry of excellence, and even strays into the ministry of perfection at times. So, you know, let me assure you that if you decide, if you hear the Spirit of God talking to you and saying that you need to be the one to step into heading up the children's ministry, be rest assured. She does not have the expectation that you will do it like she did. She is truly releasing it. So for those of you who know how she operates, we do not expect that you, because God's placed the gifts in the body, hasn't he? And he's placed a John, and he's placed a Susan, and he's placed a Rudy with all of his humor, and Cliff with all of his wonderful humor. And, you know, everybody is different. But if we will honor and respect one another, God is really, I really believe that God is asking us to draw closer, because when I read in the Word of God, it's the community working together. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, and teachers, and it says, for the equipping of the saints. And then it says, in the New King James, it'll say for the work of the ministry, but it actually is a preposition that is translated incorrectly in the Bible, and it should be unto. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so there is a service, there is a work in the ministry that Jesus requires of us. And so if I can just encourage you, be praying and asking the Lord where he wants you to serve, what he wants you to do. Amen. Anyway, we want to thank you. And so for all of us, we're going to be gathering after service. And see, I need to stop speaking. But we're going to gather after service. And we have cake and we have refreshments. We have iced tea. We're going to celebrate not only Mike's graduation. He is leaving home for to Victoria on Tuesday, by the way. So make sure you guys get your hugs in today and say your goodbyes to him today. But we're going to celebrate John and Susan and the fact that a new season, a new chapter, new journeys are opening in their lives. They're still going to be connected here. John has been working with Glenn on some things. They're still going to be vitally connected. She's still going to continue nursing. But they're just going to shift roles, and they want to be as sheep to a certain degree and just say, okay, God, what would you have us do now? I know Lisa needs workers in Children's Church. So there's many departments that really have a need to be fulfilled at this point in time. Amen? So why don't we have the elders come up and pray for John and Susan? Yeah, that'll be. Yeah. Father, we thank you for John and Susan. This is a defining moment in their walk with you, God. And we thank you for the courage that is in their hearts to obey you and to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit in their lives. Father, we stand with them. For this is a new season, not only in their lives, but also in the body of Christ. For the old thoughts that when a pastor or an elder stepped down, that they needed to leave the church for the sake of the body. Father, we know that that is not your heart, but that they would simply shift their roles and that they would be instrumental, Lord, in the shaping of Embassy Church as it's going forward. Father, we thank you for all that they were to us in Prince Albert Family Church. And Lord, we look forward to the new journey walking together with them in the role of embassy. Father, I thank you that you continue to lead them with your Holy Spirit, guide them. And I thank you that you open the eyes of their understanding so that they truly may know what the hope of their calling is for now, Father. And that you would cause the body to draw together closely with them, support them, encourage them, love them, assist them in the days ahead. Father, I thank you that Susan is able to release the children's ministry, Father, and that she is able to embrace the new and the different. Lord, I thank you for all the hearts that she has impacted. I'm sure many children here today could speak stories of Susan as their leader, and have wonderful memories of how she has touched their hearts and their lives and the stories that she has shared. Father, I pray that you would bless them. We speak blessings over them. We speak empowerment over them. And thank you, Lord, that you perfect them in their walk with you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well, we call you blessed. We call you blessed. Amen. 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 All right. Bless you. I've got some announcements. Do you have anything to say? No? Nope. We're good. Do you have anything to say, you guys?